Anyway, yeah, happy new year. Anybody else feel like they're behind the eight ball here and trying to play catch up? Seems about the way it's going for me. So we'll try to get back into the swing of things and have a good show today. So as many of you know, I'm here to put the pleasure back in your boating. So help me do that by reaching out to me via my email, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. A lot of what we talk about comes from listeners like yourself giving us ideas. Some of my clients, if they have specific problems, I try to bring them up on the radio show and really keep it fresh and interesting and make it pertinent to you, the listeners. So if you're wondering about something, somebody else is wondering about it. So make sure you get those ideas in. I'm always looking forward to hearing from you, but boating guys and gals out there, tell me what helps you out and what you want to hear. Upcoming event, a big one for anybody who's interested in boats or just things for sale, is the Seattle Boat Show coming up 25th of January through February 3rd, 2013. We're creeping up on it here. I recommend you go by the Seattle Boat Show website, seattleboatshow.com, and take a look at the events that they have going on. They have some, I think I've failed to mention in the past, they do have some great seminars that they do during the boat show, and it really benefits you as the listener to those seminars, because they're generally free. They have a schedule for them, and they're usually people that are pretty knowledgeable about their subject and really a good thing. So you'll find that information there on their website. While you're on the website, if you're 50 years of age and younger and you're going to be running a boat this year, you need to have that boater's education card, Washington State Boater's Education Card. There is a tab, a link right there on the left-hand side of their toolbar. Says get your license now. Make sure you click on that link and it'll direct you to the websites that you need to go to in order to take the class, the test, and apply for your license. So get that taken care of. As far as the rename challenge, the off-season rename challenge we've been doing, we're going to get some information on that in the next week or two, probably next week, I guess, just because we're coming in on the boat show and the reward or the award for the winner of that is going to get a pair of boat show tickets. So we'll get that taken care of here in the next week or two and let everybody know what they should be calling the off season from now on. Next thing on the list, also, as many of you know, we run a yacht charter company, Viaggio Charter, which can be seen at viaggiocharter.com. And we put an ad recently into Cruise Travel Magazine. So if Cruise Travel Magazine is something that you already get, you can check us out on the latest edition, which is the January-February 2013 issue on page 33. The January-February issue is also the annual directory issue. So if you're interested in cruising, any type of cruising, it might be well worth it for you to make the trip down to wherever you pick up your magazines, you know, a newsstand, anywhere that's gonna sell magazines and publications, travel publications. You can probably get it there. Or you can just go online to cruisetravelmag.com and sign up for a subscription to their magazine. Subscription to their magazine. Again, the website is cruisetravelmag.com. The info also is available on our website, viaggiocharter.com. Make sure that you check that out. Maybe save it in your bookmarks bar and hopefully spread the word around a little bit. So anyway, all right, I'm a little out of sorts today, not only because it's the first week of the new year here, but I got a call this morning from a trusted friend who informed me that one of my clients' listing brokers is giving out bad information. So now I'm a little upset, and I really wasn't intending on discussing this today, but now they got my blood boiling a little bit, and that's I got to talk about it. It's got to happen. So anyways, so I get this phone call, and get some information, or it was actually put to me in the form of a question because it was somebody that was familiar with the boat but didn't think the information was correct. And they called and they said, "Hey, Trig, you know, I know this is one of your guys' boats. Is this information correct?" And I said, "No." And I, "Well, you know, so-and-so is looking at it, and this was the information that the broker gave him." I'm unhappy about this, to say the least, because it's very important for people to get not only correct but complete information from anybody they talk to about something that they're looking to acquire. If you are a broker or a buyer, or excuse, well, everybody ought to be listening, but brokers specifically, you might want to perk your ears up for this one, because this is going to affect you, because I'm out for blood now. You guys, you can't be giving out bad information. Just can't happen. You've got to look at it like this. If you are the person that's going in to buy something, be it a car, a boat, a stereo system, anything, and somebody gives you bad information and you buy something based on, you know, that product, whatever it may be, based on that information, you're not going to be very happy with the person that gave it to you when you get home to find out that, oh, this stereo isn't XM equipped, or doesn't have a CD player, and it just has a picture of a CD on the front of the box. So whilst some of that is the buyer's responsibility to make sure that they check everything out, I'm really kind of incensed that there are brokers out there that find it okay to give out bad information. So a quick lesson, sales 101, if you don't know the answer to something, I want to hear that. I want to hear "I don't know" come out of your lips. And I want it to be followed by, "But I can find out for you," and then do the follow-up. That's gonna earn you a lot more respect than me finding out the hard way that not only did you not know your product, but then you lied about it. And now any trust or possible sale flew right out the window. So you really got to watch your stuff here. I hope that's helpful to the brokers that are out there listening. Buyers, if you're out there listening, make sure that you double check everything, because regardless of what that broker says, he's not responsible for the decisions you make. So make sure that you're really making good, informed decisions and not just listening to whatever the broker had to say. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today as we go through the show. I had to kind of rail a little bit on the brokers because of this situation. And I know it's not all of them out there. It's just one of those hot button issues. I believe in honesty, and you know, that's how I run my companies. And I think it's the way that everybody ought to be running out there. And if you're not, I'm going to say something about it, and I'm going to say something on behalf of everybody out there that deserves the truth. So, don't get on the bad side of Trig. That's the lesson, the real big lesson here. So anyway, enough with that. Moving on to happier things. We're talking about buying boats. Talking about buying boats today. I love it. This time of year always gets me really excited. For starters, got some cool Christmas presents, and we're starting into a new year. The possibilities are endless. Here we go. And now we got the boat show, the big Seattle boat show, the biggest boat show on the whole entire West Coast. People come from miles and miles around to see this boat show and be a part of it. So it really is a big time of year for the Seattle area. So if you're looking at buying a boat, I'm going to assume that you're going to attend that boat show. Again, you can see their website at seattleboatshow.com and get some more information. You can pre-buy tickets there. They've got some pretty good deals going on boat show tickets. If you buy a five-pack or something like that, I think it's 5 days for the price of two. It's a pretty darn good deal. So if you're looking at going, if you're going to make the effort to travel, you might want to look into buying some bulk tickets online there. So anyways, we're going to talk about buying boats today. Anybody who's been listening for the last couple weeks is aware that show's coming up. Now's a great time to be out there shopping. So I wanted to talk about what it is we're looking for when we're shopping, and what it is that I feel like are good quality angles, I guess, to be looking from And since we've got a couple weeks here, it'll be fresh in your mind as we go into the boat show. I wanted to talk about how you need to approach it so that you don't end up getting burned or you don't end up with a boat that takes the pleasure out of boating. That's really what we're after here. So anyway, that's what we're talking about today. We're going to take a quick break, do a couple minutes of commercial business, and then we're going to come back for getting into this boat buying business. So join me in a couple minutes on the other side of a break here on 1180 AM Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
Your boat will always be ready to hit the water when you visit Dunbar Marine, where Roy Dunbar has specialized in classic wood boat repair and restoration for 52 years. Dunbar Marine does it all, from minor maintenance to complete restoration. And Roy encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs. Get to know Roy, and you'll get to know your boat up close. Find out more at DunbarMarine.com. You can even see some of Dunbar Marine's restoration work at DunbarMarine.com.
Site featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising, watches grow.
Welcome back to Boat Talk with Captain Trigg. I am your host, Captain Trigg. Glad to have everybody here listening today. Send me your emails, trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com. Especially if you have something to say to me, I really want to hear the feedback. My email is the best way to do it. Again, that's trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com. Get a little riled up every once in a while, and so I'm always happy to have either support or some less than favorable feedback so I know what you're thinking out there as well. So I kind of lumped everybody together in the whole broker bit and threw everybody under the bus and ran them over. I'm an equal opportunity offender here, so if you have something to say, feel free to do so. Just realize I do know that I made a pretty big generalization there didn't feel like I could get away with anything but that. So anyway, we're moving on to buying boats, having fun buying boats. So I wanted to talk about what it is that I feel, or, you know, how the situation should go and what I think should be going through your mind as you buy a boat, because I know what it's like. There's a lot of people out there that haven't ever purchased a boat. There's a lot of people that have purchased boats and the situation didn't go as planned. And there's a lot of different places to place blame when it doesn't go as planned. But the way to fix it isn't to point a finger and say, hey, that guy messed me up and he's the one to blame. What we need to do is become more prepared so that we can make good decisions and be informed, as opposed to count on others to be taking care of us. Sadly, doesn't always happen that way. So hopefully this will help you not only buy a boat, but when you buy a boat, it'll give you an idea of what the mentality of a used boat shopper is going to be looking for when you go to sell your boat. So everything that I say as far as buyers is concerned also kind of reapplies to the sellers. Make sure that you have these things in place so that when a buyer comes along, you can say, oh yeah, I went through that. I know what you're looking for, so here it is. So anyway, we'll start with what I would suggest anyone that's really out in the market do. For starters, I think that because we've got a couple weeks to go, it's a perfect time, a couple weeks before the boat show, perfect time to be out there walking through the marinas up and down the docks. If you've got a local marina, great. If it's not very large, or maybe you aren't seeing all the stuff or the type of boat that you're looking at buying or thinking about buying, maybe do a couple different marinas. And the reason that I want you to do this is because it's going to show you what, especially if you're looking for a new boat, it's going to show you what your boat's going to look like in the future. It's almost like looking into your crystal ball and saying, hey, what's my new blank? Let's use my boat, for instance. What's my new Hatteras going to look like when we get 3 years down the road? What's my new Hatteras going to look like 20 years down the road? And so on and so forth. Because you want to look at that. I'm assuming that most people are looking at this as a fairly long-term thing, especially if you're looking at some of the larger boats. It's generally a little easier to buy, sell, trade in the smaller range, the 17 to, let's say, 25-foot range, whereas once you start getting up into that 30-foot range, you're really kind of geared up for more cruising, spending some more time on the boat, and keeping it longer term. So most people, once they get into those larger boats, they're looking a little bit further down the road. So you want to do the same thing, because whatever it is you buy, you're going to have to sell. And if you go down to the marina and look at every boat, every Hatteras that's down there, and you go, oh, that's not looking so good, how... you don't want to own it. How's anybody going to want to buy it, right? So I use Hatteras because that's what I have. So I just wanted to use something general. I think Hatteras is actually a very good product. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have bought it. But anyway, that's our example for today. So all the boats are going to look really good when you go to the boat show. Okay, the brokers are going to bring out the best of every model that they have, if they have a line of boats that they deal with, if they are a dealer for a particular brand. They're also going to make sure that the seller is having somebody wash the boat or takes really good care of it beforehand. Or a lot of times they have a service that'll come in every day of the boat show and do a quick once over, clean up, place some flowers, etc. So it's like putting on your Sunday best when you go, when you go to a very formal meeting. Okay, you want people to really appreciate how you look right out of the gate. Same thing with boats, first impressions, right? So what I would do is kind of go and get a little bit of a backstage look at what the boat may actually look like, should it not be completely cared for all of the time. And again, the brokers are going to pull out all the stops as far as bringing in the best boats that they have versus the one that's been sitting over here that nobody's been taking care of for the last 2 years because it's repossessed, right? So anyway, make sure that you get down there on the docks, get a look at all those boats. You're going to have all sorts of different varieties, manufacturer-wise, whether they've been cared for or not. You're going to have some boats that are identical boats sitting side by side, and one looks great and one looks terrible. Why is that? Deferred maintenance, which is just a good way of saying that nobody cared enough. So anyway, make sure that you do a little shopping. Now, when you're down on the docks, a couple pretty important things that you need to look at. One is the trim parts, the trim pieces on the boat. A lot of the trim on boats, which is more seen in the older boats, because now I say trim and I think of the window trim. A lot of the boats have started going to frameless windows. They're just sealed right in. The downside being that most of the time they don't open up. The upside being that water can't get in and there's no trim parts to corrode. But there are trim pieces all over the boats. It's just a matter of kind of calling them out. You've got your rub rail pieces. Maybe around the flybridge they have a piece of trim. There's trim pieces all over. So just look out for those and look at the quality of them. Are they a painted aluminum that's now starting to kind of corrode underneath the paint, starting to get some blisters underneath the paint? Is it a piece of aluminum that maybe takes quite a bit of extra care in order to keep it looking good? You don't know. Is the stainless rusting? Stainless, by definition, should not really be rusting, but it does. There's varying grades of stainless, and depending on the manufacturer, you can end up with some kind of cruddy stainless. Some stainless is better taken care of, which is usually, even if you've got some lesser grade stainless, taking care of it is going to help keep it from rusting. So you're generally going to look at a nicer boat when you don't see rust streaks on it and everything. Same goes with stainless that's really well polished. So anyway, then I want you to look at the work that's been done. If, say, your sealed windows have got new caulking and you can tell because they didn't do maybe a good job caulking it, why is that? If you buy a new version of that boat and that boat's 2-3 years old, are you going to have the same problem in 2-3 years? Are you going to have the same problem the next year? You don't know. So these are notes that you kind of want to take in your mind. I've seen that before, and maybe you ask the broker, have they taken care of this problem? Or call the manufacturer direct and say, listen, I noticed this on one of your boats. What have you done differently? Can you tell me? And it may have been they went to a different type of butyl in those areas because the stuff they used originally didn't hold up to sea air. You never know. Next thing you can look at is the quality of the gel coat and paint. And or paint, I should say. Is the gel coat getting chalky? Is the paint holding up or same thing? Is it coming off, not really looking so good? Can you tell if the boat has been painted after it wasn't painted? Maybe they didn't, you know, maybe the gel coat was no good, so they decided just to go away from that, sand it down, and do a paint over that. You know, keep all those things in mind. Some of these problems can be due to lack of maintenance, though, and some of them are due to poor quality materials. So keep that in mind as well. You don't want to go, oh, that's a chalky boat, it's no good, you know, that fiberglass just is terrible. You don't want to say that. You want to start asking the question of, was that because it didn't get taken care of? If you can walk down the dock and see the same boat, same year, and it looks great, it's probably because that the first boat didn't get taken care of nearly as well. So make sure that you don't just throw things out there like, you know, these big things like, oh, it's no good because of this. You don't want to limit yourself that direction either. So take a look also how the boat sits in the water and at the dock, because boat show boats are usually very easy to get on and off of. That's part of the job of the guys that set the boat show up and the vendors, is to make sure that their product is easily accessible. It's great when you walk up on this big gangplank and it takes you right to the swim step. But if you see it sitting down at the dock and the swim step's almost underwater with a load on it, that's probably what yours is going to look like, unless maybe they change the fuel tank configuration, water tank configuration. You never do know. But you know, start asking those questions again. If everyone you walk past has its swim step sitting in the water, you're not going to want to walk across that in your nice shoes, are you, after getting off of work on Friday and coming down to the boat to take it out for the weekend? No. So really, really check and make sure that the accessibility is going to be what you expect it to be before you go to the boat show, because when you get to the boat show, it's almost like they're going to have a magic wand and you're going to suddenly be on the boat and, wow, that was easy. Well, sometimes it isn't as easy when you get down onto the water. So accessibility is a big one, especially if you know what marina you're going to be in, or you know what you're going to be using, maybe your bow in instead of stern in, or you're side tied at an end where you can't get onto the swim step, but the swim step's the easy way to go, you may have a problem there. So, you know, and I don't really know your situation, but I know a lot of people that can't get around as well as some of the rest of us can. And that makes a big problem too, because if the wife can't get on the boat, the husband probably doesn't go out boating. That's no good. No bueno. So anyway, make sure that everything's as accessible as you think it's going to be when you go down to that boat show. So for our discussion this week, I want to make the assumption that you know what type, style, and purpose you're going to use for your boat. Okay? Meaning that you know what brand, and not necessarily brand as much as, you know, power, sail, the style, aft cabin, cockpit, and then the purpose, whether you're cruising, fishing, whatever. So we'll talk about it some more after we get back from a couple minutes of break here, and we'll really dig into what we're looking at here at the Boat Show. Come on back after a couple minutes here on Boat Talk, 1180 AM, Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
Your boat will always be ready to hit the water when you visit Dunbar Marine, where Roy Dunbar has specialized in classic wood boat repair and restoration for 52 years. Dunbar Marine does it all, from minor maintenance to complete restoration, and Roy encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs. Get to know Roy, and you'll get to know your boat up close. Find out more at DunbarMarine.com. You can even see some of Dunbar Marine's restoration work at DunbarMarine.com.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine-related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising. Watch us grow.
Welcome back to Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. I'm your host, Captain Trigg, and I'm glad to have everybody back listening. I hope I haven't lost too many of you in the terribleness that it sounds like owning a boat. You know, it's funny. I just had the board operator stepped in during the break. He goes, "Oh, I don't know if I could handle having a boat." And you know, that really isn't the goal of the show. I think that with any hobby, you probably have these things that you have to go through in order to really, you know, make it a successful hobby. And boating is no different than owning a plane or a horse or a specialty car, race car, you know, any of that stuff. It takes a lot of work to do it and do it right. So I'm trying to make your lives easier, and I hope that's what everybody thinks and feels out there. I'm trying to make it so that we can keep the pleasure in pleasure boating, right? So we're going to keep doing that. Send me your emails, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com, and let me know if you have specific questions about these things, because it's really important to get it clarified before you're in the midst of signing a contract and then it's too late. So anyway, going back to doing our boat shopping. Again, I said earlier that there's a lot of people that haven't been in the seat of buying a boat. And there's a lot of people that have been, and things just didn't go right. So I'm going to give you my take on how I would want the whole situation to go down should I go back in and buy another boat. And it's really what I want if somebody is to come purchase the boat that I currently have. That's how I want them to go through the steps. So for your sanity, we're going to start off with a handful of tips just to kind of keep things simple for you. First off, you should really have your own representation, whether that's a broker or some sort of buyer's agent. And it could be, you know, it could be a private party like myself that comes in and just consults with you, or it could be another sales and purchasing broker that you find at any brokerage. One thing that I will say with the brokers, regardless of which side they're on, whether they're a buyer or seller's agent, there's always some monetary reward at the end for them. Okay. So if you say, hey, I need you to come represent me, they still only get paid should you or somebody else purchase the boat. Okay. So just keep that out there. Whereas if you hire a consultant, they've got no skin in the game. It's all about, you know, them giving the best representation in order to keep your interests in the forefront. So just make sure that you take that into account as you go in and pick somebody to help represent you. Either way, you need to have some sort of representation. There are very few brokers, probably even less now, that would work with me after my earlier discussion, but there are very few that I would actually trust to represent both sides. I have worked with a couple in the past that are very honest and forthright, and they're the kind of guys that I like to work with. But for all intents and purposes today, I got to say that I think that you need somebody to represent your interests, just like the seller has somebody that's trying to work and represent theirs. So make sure that you take that all into account. When you sign your contract, make sure there's some sort of clause that allows you out of the sale should there be any issues. Now, most brokers are working with a pretty standard agreement, and brokers are held at a fairly high standard when it comes to these sorts of things. They have boilerplate forms that they use, et cetera. So, it'll usually have that clause. It'll say something to the effect of, I can't even remember how they phrase it, but it's something to do with a suitable survey or a survey being done. So anyway, just make sure that you have an out in case there's something wrong with the boat, which there always will be something wrong with the boat. Can almost guarantee that. I don't care if it's a brand new boat, there will be something wrong with that boat. So just make sure you've got that. If you sign off on the fact that the owner can fix the problems prior to your purchase, should anything come back on the survey, you need to make sure that it calls out that the work is being done by an approved person, your approval. Because I, as an owner, have a different skill set than Bob down the road as an owner has, and same with Dave even further down the road from him. We all have these different skill sets, and if there's something that needs to be fixed that's plumbing-wise, you know, that's a plumbing issue, and you let the owner fix it because they want to come in and save themselves some money, they may not have any plumbing skills, or they might hire a $10 plumber that may not be as good as the $30 marine plumber that they should have hired, right? And so you don't want them to save money at your expense. Never want that to happen. Next thing, don't allow yourself to be rushed into signing contracts. You need to have all that information. When you go out and have a survey done, you need to get that information back and be able to sit down and review through that survey. You don't want them to say, oh, the survey was done. We don't have the write-up yet, but it sounded good. So, you know, let's go ahead and sign this baby off. That's not good. There's no point in doing a survey if you're just going to sign it off. It's a large decision that you're making. It's easy to allow yourself to get emotionally involved, and you're dealing with something that is going to be a part of your family. You know, for me, you know, my boat comes, it's a close race some days as to whether my family or my boat are in first. Not really. I hope my wife's not listening just because of that line. But anyways, my boat's second pretty much to my family, and that really is it. So to me, I put a lot of care and effort into my boat, keeping it nice and having something that I really enjoy. I assume you're going to be the same way. If not, you probably stopped listening to this show months ago because you don't really care what your boat looks like or acts like. It's just about having a boat. So if you're listening, I'm gonna say that you're in the same boat as I am. No pun intended there. All right. Last thing for your sanity, you got to be prepared to walk away. It's a toughie because, again, you're emotionally involved. You like that boat. That's why you put an offer down on that boat. There's all these things that come into play, but you have to be prepared to walk away because there's a very good chance that you get the survey back and it says that the boat needs $100,000 worth of work. It's a $50,000 boat and you don't have $150,000 to spend on this boat. Chances are pretty good also that it's that there's another boat out there like it and it may be in better shape, maybe in worse shape. I don't know. But you need to make sure that you can always walk away because what gets people in trouble more often than not, and I've been in the same situation, you fall in love with a car or a house or a boat and it's just like, man, that really, I like that the way that's laid out. I like just that. That can be an expensive mistake and it's your mistake to make, but that would be my advice. Just make sure you can walk away from it. If they come back with a survey that's golden, then you may just have to pay what you agreed to pay, and that's that. If they come back with a survey that looks terrible, that the other owner needs to be able to, or the selling party needs to be able to go, well, yeah, it's got some work to be done. We need to give a concession here and make sure that they feel good about it too. So anyway, next thing I want to talk about is the surveyors. We've talked several times about surveyors through this, and now it's how do we get to these surveyors? Most lay people don't just have a surveyor in their back pocket. You know, they know the number to Domino's, they know the number to the plumber that they use for their house. You know, most of us have these things kind of memorized, or at least in a place that's easily accessible to us. Surveyors aren't anything we need except for when we're going through boat deals or doing some sort of insurance survey. So a lot of times people don't know what a surveyor's number is. So who do you ask? I bet 90% of the people that would answer that question, including most of the listeners, and my gut instinct would be call a broker. Well, what broker are they going to call? Probably the one that is representing the boat. Hey, who do you think we should have survey this thing? Well, of course they recommend that you have their surveyor survey it. You don't really know if he's on the payroll or not. You know, he may be getting a great deal because he has a kickback coming if the boat sells because he gave it a good survey. You got to make sure that people are out for your best interests. Remember that. Highly recommending that you don't use a surveyor or yard that's recommended by the selling broker. Sometimes they're good. They're as good as any or better. But there's a conflict of interest there, and I just don't want you to get trapped into a corner. And it's going to be you paying for the survey, okay? And so it may be cheaper to use the broker's surveyor, but you may not get a good survey out of it either. So you make sure that the money you spent is well spent. Instead of looking to them, maybe you look to your own agent, your insurance company. If you have a boat already or if you are going to have somebody specifically insure it, use their surveyor. Or, again, if you hire an outside contractor to come in to help consult with you, we may have somebody that we would suggest. And some of the brokers may use those guys, but I just wouldn't. That's not who I'd call to get that referral. So anyway, make sure you get a good referral for the surveyor. Once you get that surveyor lined up, you need to have a hull and condition survey done of the boat. And, you know, generally that's going to take a day or two depending on the size of the boat. But you also ought to have an engine survey done. You will probably have to hire a mechanical company. You know, there's a couple that come to mind in Seattle, but I'm not going to promote them over anybody else. You know, have an engine survey done by an approved mechanic for whatever engines you've got, whether it's Cats or John Deere's or Detroit's, whatever. So make sure you get that taken care of as well, because probably your biggest expense, especially right out of the gate, is going to be any kind of any kind of engine work that you need done. And if that engine work goes unchecked, or you know, that those engines go unchecked and you don't realize that, oh, these engines are shot. We need two more engines with a price tag of $100,000 total, or, you know, $150,000 or $90,000, whatever it is. That adds on to the price that you weren't anticipating. So make sure that you have that engine survey done. Remember, as a seller, you're going to be able to reuse this information, okay? So don't look at it as a complete write-off of, well, the surveyor is going to be $1,500. The engine survey is going to be another $1,000. You know, don't look at it that way. You can't look at it that way. You got to look at it as, hey, I'm going to drop a large chunk of change here. And when I do, I want to make sure that I get the best boat for the money. And I've got the survey ready, you know, ready to kind of prove it to the next guy who buys the boat. Or I can take that survey and say, hey, your survey and my survey look nothing alike, because I took my survey and I went through and I checked off all the things that needed to be done. And now your survey looks really good because I did all the work. So that's an incentive for that next buyer to come along and really, really like what he's seeing with your boat. So anyway, with the survey, you need to be available for the survey. It's important for you to kind of follow along, especially if you're going to be a hands-on boat owner. Follow along with that surveyor and make sure that you're understanding the things he's picking up on. He's your employee for that time period, so make sure you utilize him to the best of your ability. We're getting close to break time, it sounds like, so we're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna come back, finish up the survey section of this thing, and then we're gonna move on to some more fun stuff having to do with boats and buying them. Join me back here in a couple minutes on Boat Talk, 1180 AM Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera, because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
Your boat will always be ready to hit the water when you visit Dunbar Marine, where Roy Dunbar has specialized in classic wood boat repair and restoration for 52 years. Dunbar Marine does it all, from minor maintenance to complete restoration. And Roy encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs. Get to know Roy, and you'll get to know your boat up close. Find out more at DunbarMarine.com. You can even see some of Dunbar Marine's restoration work at DunbarMarine.com.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine-related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising. Watch us grow.
Welcome back to Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. Glad to have everybody joining me today for our last segment of the show. And want to remind everybody that they can get a hold of me here at trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. Feel free to check out our website as well, seattleyachtmanagement.com or viaggiocharter.com. Both of those are ours, and we try to have as complete of a set of information on them as we can, so that so you can get some good ideas from those sites and utilize them on your boats or maybe for charter use in the future. So anyway, back to what we were talking about, surveying. We don't have a whole heck of a lot of time left, but we're going to get through as much of it as we can. The surveying section of it, as I was mentioning, it's important that you be there and follow along, because that guy or that person is surveying your boat and or your future boat, hopefully, and you want to know all the ins and outs. And when the guy says, well, we've got some, you know, we've got some grounding wires that aren't quite attached, and he writes that down in his survey report, he's going to write a general location. But you want to be there with him when he lifts up those hatches and goes, yeah, I don't really like what I see here, or, you know, whatever it is. If you cannot, because of scheduling conflicts, if you cannot be there for the survey, I highly recommend that you have your agent, whether it's a broker or, again, a private party that's doing your consulting for you. And I probably actually recommend the consultant more, just because, generally speaking, I think they know, if you're going to hire a marine professional, I think they're going to know more than a broker is about that particular boat, or kind of have a better idea. Whereas a broker is going to kind of follow along, you know, yep. I think your consultant is going to be more concerned with taking good notes and making sure to be out there and a little more proactive with it. So anyways, if you don't have the time, hire somebody to give you some good feedback before you do anything. And again, make sure you don't sign those contracts until you've gotten the written report from the surveyor and you've had a chance to sit down, read through it, and make a good educated decision. Maybe make some phone calls to get some price quotes, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. Just make sure you get it done before you sign those contracts. So the next thing I want to talk about, we're going to have to zip through it here, is engines, gas versus diesel. This is a age-old discussion that has strong supporters on either side of the fence. And, you know, I'm more center of the road on most things. And I try to put some logic behind the decisions I make, not just my daddy said that diesels were better than gas, and so I want diesel, and that's that. There are a lot of people out there that is their mentality, and that's fine. They can pay for that. And it either benefits them or it does not. I don't believe in that mentality, just because I think it costs people a lot of money, and I've seen it not pan out in the long run, and it's frustrating to spend good money after bad, just because that's what daddy said. At some point, our dads are wrong too, so you got to make sure that you really put some good thought into it before you just jump out there and say, hey, you're an idiot for buying a gas engine versus a diesel, or vice versa. And you know, you're not gonna probably go broke if you buy one over the other. The world's not going to come to a halt if you don't buy a diesel or don't buy a gas. You just have to look at what you're going to use it for. So let's talk about it a little bit. First thing that I think is probably the simplest and the one thing that goes through people's mind right out of the gate is fuel economy. Now, how many of us out here, you know, in the listening audience, have done the fuel calculations based on how many hours you're going to use the boat a year? Keeping in mind that 100 hours a year is probably the most that 99% of the people, not only listening, but probably closer to 100% of the people are actually going to, you know, the boating population, especially in Seattle, are going to use their boat in the 4 months during the summer, during the season, the prime season. How many people have done those calculations? Not many. I have done the calculations. Guess what? The huge amount of expense that you put forth in the beginning to buy those diesel engines, if it ever gets paid for, it will be very, very far down the road. And we'll talk about why that is. I mentioned the fact that you've got high initial expense, okay? The cost of buying a diesel-equipped boat is always going to be more than a gas-equipped boat, just because that's the mentality out there. Diesel's better than gas. Okay, better fuel efficiency, no maintenance, wrong. But also, you're going to have the problem. And let's talk about this in sections. So you got the initial expense. You got that initial expense being driven by the mentality that diesel's better than gas. So, bam, automatically, you're out of it. That diesel's just going to cost you more to put those engines in or have them put in. Okay. The lifespan and maintenance on these, they're going to be about the same as far as the lifespan. When you put an engine in a marine environment, guess what? It gets beat up. It gets beat hard. I've talked about it in the past. The marine environment is probably one of the most corrosive, nasty places for anything to be. Anything. Especially when you start talking about metal. So the fact that you've got a diesel engine versus a gas engine, guess what? A lot of times the blocks are made out of identical metals. And when you make, you know, when you put them side by side, the corrosion issue is going to be the same across the board. So you're going to have parts, you know, that are going bad and getting nasty and crusty. Okay. So you got that. For the first 3 years of a diesel engine's life, you're going to probably have less major maintenance. But then after year three, the curve is going to start going up. And it's going to go up fast because maintaining diesel engines is much more expensive than maintaining gas engines. In fact, a lot of times you can replace a whole gas engine for cheaper than you can do some of the major maintenance on a diesel engine. You buy a rebuild or have the engine rebuilt or pull it and put a brand new one in. And a lot of times that can be done for less because diesel engines are expensive to maintain. And you're always going to have the same, you know, I'm lumping all the things that are the same together. You know, oil changes, the same. They're going to be a little more expensive on diesel engines because the oil is a little more expensive and there's usually more of it. Water pump impellers, basically the same. Okay? So when you start adding those things up, it really ends up costing you more to own the diesel engine. Now, you can't help it if that's your preference. If you think, hey, they're going to cost me the same thing, that's fine. I think that you are probably going to spend less over the long term up to a certain size boat with a gas engine. Now that size, I'd say once you get up to about 40 feet, you're going to start burning a lot more. You're going to start burning a lot more fuel to move a 40 footer around. And bottom line, they just don't have a lot of gas engines for boats larger than that. You're looking at 454s and that's, you know, once you reach that, they have larger engines. A lot of times you see them in the offshore racers, but you know, you're really going to be kind of directed back towards diesel engines. But, you know, for sure up to 30 feet, I think you're better off, unless you are cruising nonstop, you're better off probably to deal with a gas engine. That's just what I think. So, you know, and that's based on, I think, some fairly straightforward logic. So, you know, make sure that when you look at these things, you're looking at them from a standpoint of, I'm going to make the decision of the best for me and the best financially. Take everything into account. You can't just say, well, you know, I like this because it favors diesels, or I like that because it favors gas, and that's the way I want to go. You can't do it that way. You gotta play fair. So you gotta make sure that you're really taking these things into account. And this goes for everything that has to do with boats. We're gonna talk about some more stuff next week that is real similar. It's going to have all these pros and cons, and you've got people that fight back and forth across the fence and go, oh, well, fiberglass is better than wood, and, you know, fiberglass is better than aluminum or steel or any of these other things. Generally speaking, because we talk about smaller boats here on the show, we're going to talk between fiberglass and wood. But it all has to have logic applied to it. Otherwise, you're just making a rash decision based on your opinion and your feelings. And sometimes that's what you do. If it comes down to a matter of dollars and cents, that's just what you do. But you can't go into it blind and say, oh, well, you know, a fiberglass boat costs tons less than a wood boat, and that's just that. I'm gonna prove that wrong next week. But anyways, I want everybody to kind of take these things into account, take them in stride. Make sure you visit the local marinas, or if you're going out of town and you're going to have a chance to be near a marina, take a walk through. You may have to get the harbor master's permission or a key or something just to kind of walk through and look boats. But make sure you take the time to look things over. Take the wife or whoever's buying with you, you know, a business partner, a partner, whoever it is that's that's going to be buying the boat, make sure that they look at the same thing that you're looking at, because it isn't a one-person show. You're going to need somebody to tie lines, and if they can't jump 3 feet and it's a 4-foot fall to the dock and it's going to cripple them when they do it, you don't really want that. That boat probably isn't the best thing for you. If they're hard of hearing, but they got to stand near the engines and they can't hear you yelling because of the engine noise on top of their hard hearing, and it just isn't going to work. So make sure that you you really get the other parties that are going to be involved in the buying process as well, because their feedback's as important as anybody else's. Okay, you don't want to end up leaving them out, and that's going to end up costing you a bad experience. And sometimes I know people that have had bad experiences one time, and that's all they can handle. They won't do it again because they can't. And that, you know, that's why I want to keep the pleasure in boating. So make sure that you get out there and do some good research before you start going into buying. And we'll talk more about it next week when we're back here Saturday, 1 to 2 p.m. Have a great boating week. Oh.